But the cool thing, the thing that never changes, is at this time of the year, every fan around the land believes they've got a chance, don't they? That's wonderful. And I'll tell you what is wonderful. I'm really honoured by this. We are joined now on the line by TalkSport presenter, win, lose or draw genius host, Bob Mills. Welcome to Vellum Sports. Good afternoon to you.
Hello, mate. You're right.
Hey, I am. I tell you what, that's just, I used to love that show, Bob, so much back in the day. And your little pirouette was marvellous, sir. I tell you what.
That's my little twirl. Lionel Blair taught me that twirl.
Hey, and there's a name to conjure with. I tell you
that's
what, my
only,
word.
My only claim to fame.
Hey, look, you're a humble man, sir. I tell you. Anyway, Bob, my word. It's just a few weeks away since obviously the World Cup fizzled out. I don't know. I mean, semi-finalists. I'm sure most of us would have bitten your arm off if that was offered at the start of the tournament. But for me personally, I feel as though I fell in love with a woman again who I knew was going to break my heart. If that makes any sense. What's your take on the World Cup?
No, I think you're wrong. She didn't break your heart. No, because no one had any expectations. That was the great thing about this. They didn't have any expectations. I think, although people are reinventing history, I think everyone had a little groan when Gareth Southgate was given the job.
Absolutely. I was, you know, I was banging on against him. I thought, I compared him, I think really unfairly now, to Stuart Lancaster, the England manager who failed abysmally at the Rugby World Cup home affair for England. And I tell you what, he's won me over, Mr. Southgate. He really has.
Well, I think what he did was it was as much of a shock to him as it was to us when he was offered the job. There's no, you know, he was getting on quite nicely, doing what he was doing, looking after, you know, St. George's Park and the young kid teams and that. And then suddenly he gets thrown into it. And I think he acted really well. So I think what he did was he thought, well, if I'm going to do this, there's a very great possibility that I'm going to fail. Because, you know, look, apart from Sir Ralph Ramsey, that has been the history of England managers. Basically, they failed, even the ones that seemed to do well. And I think he made the decision, if I'm going to fail, I'm going to fail on my own terms. I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm not interested in Wayne Rooney. I'm not interested in Joe Hart. I'm not interested in Gareth Barry or James Milner or, you know, that sort of generation. I'm going to take the kids that I know, the young players that I know, I'm going to mix them with the players that I trust, like John Stones and Cahill and people like that, and we'll see how it goes. And it would have been no surprise if we... I know people say it's an easy group. I wouldn't have been surprised if we'd have got dumped out.
I don't think many people would have. I think that's a good shout, and I think you've really broken that down nicely. The reason I said broken my heart is because, once again, I was buying into the whole football's coming home. And then here's the thing, where I totally take your points. I've been won over by Southgate. I was a little bit frustrated in the sense that when they went 1-0 up after 6-7 minutes against Croatia, again, there was that tendency, which always bites us in the foot, to go ultra defensive. I genuinely think, Bob, that was a semi-final there for victory. I really do.
Yeah. You see, once again, think about Iceland. Think about when we lost to Iceland. Now, that was one of the most despondent I've ever felt as an England fan, because we were absolutely clueless and we'd been beaten, unsurprisingly, by a team that was better prepared. Now, when we lost to Croatia, I can honestly, yes, of course I was hugely disappointed, of course I was, but I can honestly say, and this is as someone who didn't want Southgate in the first place, that I genuinely sat for about 10 minutes afterwards and thought, okay, I trust that everyone is going to learn a lesson from that.
Mm.
I don't believe that Gareth Southgate is going to make that mistake again. I think that in 2 years' time of the European Championships, or 4 years' time of the next World Cup, if he finds himself a goal up against Croatia, and he sees the way the team's playing, he will be an experienced and a big enough manager to say, right, let's get Dele Alli and Harry Kane off because they're having a bad day. Let's change what we're doing. Let's bring on Loftus-Cheek and have him put those through balls to Jamie Vardy. Do you know what I mean? Now,
absolutely.
You can't expect a man in his first major tournament, where he's only been in the job a few months, to be able to make those decisions.
No, again, I think you're very, very fair there. And as I say, I was personally very anti-Southgate. I don't think I was alone in that. And he has impressed me. There's certainly, for the first time, I think, in English football for maybe a little while anyway, certainly the shoots of optimism. And as you rightly say, Bob, if you compare and contrast where we are now versus that ignominious day against Iceland, it has been massive strides forward. Final Southgate question to you. Did you invest in a waistcoat?
Well, no, you see, I had my waistcoats. That was originally my idea, of course. When I did, we used to have Waistcoat Wednesday on Win, Lose or Draw.
Absolutely.
So I've let Gareth have that one, but no, I didn't go along with it.
Anyway, we're only now a few weeks away from the start of the Premier League, and obviously that can mean that all football fans, at least at the high level, can get their fix again. It's only a few weeks away. Lots of money being spent, of course it is. Bob, love this time of year because everybody believes there could be a winner. Who at the moment would be your tips for the Premier League?
Well, I have to say that people have been talking, on TalkSport, people have been bigging up Liverpool. They've spent money. Now, if you look at Manchester United and you look at Liverpool and Tottenham and Chelsea and Arsenal with their new manager, what they've got to do, it's like a general election when you see the polls. Basically, all of those teams have got to improve by between 20 and 30% and hope that Manchester City don't improve at all.
Yeah.
Now, when you look at it like that, there's only one winner.
Yeah, no, it wasn't.
The City are going to be at least as good as they were, probably 10% better, and no one's going to improve 40, 50% in one transfer window. I think City are going to win probably the next two Premier Leagues.
I tell you what, I think it is a great shout. They were so dominant, the most dominant I can remember in many, many a long while. I mean, you potentially could put the quote-unquote invincibles of Arsenal up there, but just the way they played, it was so refreshing. But I tell you again, if you're a Liverpool fan right now, you are excited, aren't you? Because that Champions League march was wonderful. And, as you know, again, spending big, there is a lot of faith, I think, in Klopp. But I guess already my man Mourinho playing the mind games, maybe for the first time, expectation and pressure on Klopp to really get some silverware this season.
I think Klopp's in the same situation as Pochettino's in the Spurs. I think he's had his period of, oh, he's doing some great things there. Now Peter's saying, yeah, it counts for nothing. If there isn't silverware at the end of this season, if we'd have won the Champions League, then I would have made them absolute second favourites to City, because I think that would have lifted the whole club and it would have moved them to another level. But, you know, the fact is, people don't remember. Well, they do. Like Leeds, they remember in the late 60s, 70s, as a brilliant club who didn't really win much. But in general, people don't remember teams that were really good. People don't remember the great Crystal Palace team under Terry Venables. It's one of the most entertaining teams that's ever played in this country. But they didn't win nothing, so forget it. They don't count.
I always think of when you kind of break into that branch of football discussion, straight away I'm seeing Kevin Keegan and I'd love it and all that malarkey, because that was a glittering team full of talent. But again, when you look at the trophy cabinet, it's absolutely bare.
There's nothing there.
Anyway, look, Premier League is super exciting. Obviously, it's many, many of the fans. And Watford have spent big. We're going to dissect Watford all afternoon. But, Bob, I tell you what I appreciate about yourself, as much as your glittering talent as a broadcaster and a comic in your own right, is the fact that you're a real football fan, sir. I really appreciate that. You're Leighton Orient, the O's. They were in action against the mighty St Albans in the week, 1-1 there. What's your hopes for Leighton Orient for this season?
Well, hopefully I want to get out of the conference, but that is a very difficult proposition. I think this might be our second. We might have to have another season in the conference. I don't know, because the first one was a disaster, because we, for the first half of it, we didn't know what we were doing. And it wasn't until we got a new manager, Justin Edinburgh, came in and apparently, from what I'm being told, got hold of all the players in the dressing room and said, right, forget everything that you think you know about playing football, because you're in a different league. Now, this is a different game that you're playing. Because what you're playing against here is teams that know how to defend and then hit you on the break and get 2-0 up and then defend so you can't get back into it, which teams do brilliantly in that league. I've seen some brilliant football in the conference, I have to say. Not Premier League football, not exciting football, not hugely skillful football, but players that just think, I can do nothing for 70, 80 minutes, but I can score two goals. Because I can wait, whereas in the Premier League, strikers might get six or seven through balls.
Yeah.
In the conference, they might just get one. But because they know that's going to happen, then they're going to score. It's a really exciting league.
We cover the St Albans City every week, and they're in the sort of the slightly lower league there, but again on the same tier. And as you say, it's, you know, sometimes it's 0-0, and we go back to the final report, and it's 3-4. Well, goodness me, that's remarkable, you know. But it's awesome.
Yeah,
you
see, things come into play in the conference that Premier League fans have forgotten about, like simply. Tiredness comes into play.
Yeah.
Very often, when teams aren't full-time, as not all the teams in the conference are, the last 10 minutes, you know, you can get 3 goals in the last 10 minutes.
It was really great to hear you describe that. Edinburgh really kind of giving the straight talk to his team there to make them focus. It has been, I guess, a bit of a kind of weird period for Leighton Orient. I remember, of course, the possibility of you being in the London Stadium. I know Barry Hearns did such wonderful things. They're massively passionate about them. I guess, is it now, do you feel as a fan, that this is the time that, you know, that era's over, you've moved on from a sticky patch, ready for more positive things going forwards?
Yeah, well, we had a nightmare after Barry left, and no one blames Barry. I mean, Barry Hearn, he sold Leighton Orient simply because, if you listen to Eddie Hearn talking about it, you know, Matchroom is a major, major world player. It does boxing, it does, you know, it does the darts, it does all sorts of sports, and they all make money, and they have to make money. It's a really brilliant global business, and yet there was a little bit of it that was just hemorrhaging 3-4 million quid
sure.
a year. And you can't carry on like that. And he did all he could. He got us stable. And he then sold it to, God knows, you know, a crook, basically.
He's been on record of saying this. If I knew that the guy was going to do that, it would not have been sold to him for sure. But
no, absolutely not. But you don't know. And anyway, we had our bad years. You see, that's why... people will say to me, oh, you Orient fan, you must feel wrong, but being in a conference, that must be a nightmare. No, it's not a nightmare, because the nightmare was, a couple of weeks before, we could have been out of business.
Indeed. And, you know, like I said to you, Bob, for me, you're there amongst the people, you're a real fan. I think it's fabulous. You mentioned there the awesome work that Matcham do. I tell you what they've done for darts is, quite frankly, the most genius work of PR you'll ever come to. And I mean that in the absolute best sense of that. But, you know, just final quick question, because obviously Watford's own AJ Joshua got some big clashes at Wembley, and one of the Hearns clan instrumental in that. Just the final quick thoughts, September coming up, it's going to be Joshua against the dangerous Russian Povovkin. Quick thoughts ahead of that big fixture.
A lot of people are saying, oh, it's just a make weight fight. It's not at all. When you listen to people in the fight game talking about him, he's the Russian. Any Russian is a good fighter. If you're in the middleweight section, you don't want to be fighting people from Nicaragua and Honduras and Costa Rica, and in the heavyweight section, you want to stay away from the Russians, basically. So it will be tough. I think he'll come through it all right, because I think, do you know what? To me, he's like Gareth Southgate's England,
nice,
AJ.
Nice.
He's still about 70% of what he's going to be. And he knows that. That's the great thing. When people criticise, in the Parker fight, a lot of people said, oh, he should have finished it. And his thing is, hang on, I'm still learning this game. He is a world champion who, by his own admission, is improving every fight, because he's still learning. And I think that's a great, healthy thing to have for British sport.
Absolutely. He's a beacon, and he represents, you know, he's aware of his past, which he's very open about. He comes across very open. What he did for his ex, or his first trainer, I thought, which was the emblem of the man, just the class act, that, you know, the car, not a little rinky-dink one at that. So, you know, we're all big AJ fans here. I'll tell you what.
Well, you can be, and you should be very proud, if you know, for his hometown, because he has got, if anyone has got an excuse, if anyone's entitled to be Charlie Big Potatoes, it's the heavyweight champion of the world.
Yep.
But he never is. And I think what he comes across as is a fiercely competitive and fiercely talented heavyweight boxer, but also quite a nice young guy.
And you know what, as well, like you say, being the heavyweight champion of the world, he's got three of the titles, he's going to get the fourth, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Bottom line is this, he's restored the luster of that. You know, obviously back in the day with Ali and all that, and then, you know, into the Tyson era, even to a degree with Lennox Lewis, the heavyweight championship, the heavyweight champion of the world, for me, up there with, you know, the fastest man on planet Earth, really. Yeah. And during the Klitschko eras, I mean, say, we could dissect it, they're very good at what they did, but they did destroy that luster. I think ultimately AJ's brought that back, and that's credit to him.
Yeah, to a large extent, boxing destroyed itself with the alphabetic spaghetti titles and all that kind of thing, and letting that happen. And I think what it's crying out for is a universal champion, one man to say I'm the best. And I think that'll be AJ. And I think boxing will go forward from it.
Hey, I'm sure. Mr. Mills, it's been an honour and a privilege to chat to you. Let me just quickly ask you this much. I know you do great things with TalkSport. You're obviously a working comic, and I've seen you live. You made me chuckle. What's coming up next? Where can we check you out? And, you know, just give yourself a bit of a promo, my man.
Oh, I'm around and about, basically. The thing is, people say, oh, you're on tour. I don't tour. I just work. So, I don't know when I'm back at the red card, the Red Dot Club at the MK Stadium. The Hilton Doubletree. I do that about a couple of times a year. So I'm there, and there's that lovely little festival they have, that one-day festival just outside Milton Keynes that they put on. And the theatre do a nice comedy night. So probably four or five times a year I'm around Milton Keynes area. You just have to look in the paper, and if you see my ugly mug, pop along.
Well, look, Mr. Mills, you enjoy the rest of your weekend. Thank you very much for your time. And I'll tell you what, I wish you all the best, and likewise to Leighton Orient for the season.
Cheers, guys. Take care.
Have a good one, mate. Much obliged.
Cheers.